Well, the demise of Holden has been a slow burn, but what will be the legacy of this iconic Australian car brand? Royce Kermelovs is a journalist and the author of The Death of Holden, and he joins me from South Australia. Royce, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You wrote this book a few years ago in 2016, so no doubt you weren't surprised by today's announcement.
In many ways, no. I think for people who have been watching this for some time, the decision to end the brand in its entirety has been on its way for some time. Once you lose the emotional connection that comes with local production, local manufacturing, you lose kind of the reason for people to keep buying that vehicle to begin with. And in a completely deregulated car market, it's very hard for that car, that model to compete.
What do you think it was that's made Holden such a big part of Australia's identity?
It was our car. It was supposed to be the car built for Australian conditions. It guaranteed independence to anyone who owned one. It meant you can travel across, the vastness of this landscape. It became a cornerstone of our identity.
A cornerstone of our identity, but our identity has been shifting. It's an evolving story. Has it shifted with time as well?
Always. I mean, identity is fluid. It changes. It adapts. But the attachment to this car, the nostalgia people have, the connection with this vehicle and what it represented, the symbolicness of it, that has remained over time. The problem when you lost that local manufacturing, you lost that sense that this was ours, built by us. Yes, it might be built by an American multinational. Yes, there might be complications around that. But it was still, the places where these were built still provided jobs for people. They still provided futures. They still provided a whole lifestyle. And when you lose that, you lose a lot more.
In the press conference today, management said many times that they were deeply sad about this. It was really, it was like listening to people speaking at a funeral, that it was an agonising decision, that they didn't take it lightly, that they, made all these contingencies, but they couldn't make this sustainable. Do you have any thoughts about how you think the way that they pitched this? I mean, what did you make of that?
To be honest with you, I think that the actual announcement to end the brand is kind of a formality on a story that has been coming for some time. I think for whatever reason that they gave to do this, it was going to happen. When you're trying to import a national icon that's assembled in Germany by an American multinational into a country, it just can't stand up. I think what's more curious about this is the frustration of the federal government at saying that they were not consulted about this and not told about this until immediately. I think that's inevitable when you offshore production in the way that we have. You lose the ability to control. I mean, why should the country notify the government about a commercial decision? That's the point of what's happened.
It's interesting you say that. I can give you the answer the Prime Minister would say. I'm channeling the Prime Minister based on his press conference, which is, hang on a minute, $2 billion is why. It's because of the subsidies. Historically, the government feels miffed because it spent a lot of money propping up this industry.
And it was also the previous iteration of the current Conservative government that led to its undoing. I mean, everyone can remember the image of Joe Hockey on the floor of Parliament daring Holden to leave. I mean, this is something that has been coming for some time and that we should have seen the end on. Which is, I guess, goes back to the point, is that people who have been watching this have seen it coming. That said, it does not change the reality for the people on the ground, the people who, the other people who are going to lose their jobs. I mean, there have been two reports currently. I'm trying to size up what's happened in the current series of closures. One was from the AMWU, which found that something like 80% of people have new jobs, but the bulk of those people have jobs that are precarious. A similar federal government study, I think on page 6, outlined something similar, although its figures are lower. It says something like 40% of those in the supply chain haven't been able to find equivalent work, which is, their work is more contractual, more part-time, more casual, and something along the lines of 20% for people who worked in the actual car makers themselves. So the ramifications for this are, like you said, slow, ongoing, and will continue to keep running. The car factories, the car industry intersects with much in Australian life, and I think that we've so far been blind to that reality.
Royce, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Royce Kermelovs is a journalist and the author of The Death of Holden, and he was joining me there from South Australia. Is this one of those announcements that you thought, oh yeah, well, that was always going to happen, or are you disappointed? And who do you blame? Is it GM? Is it government policies? A bit of column A, a bit of column B? 0418 226 576 is the text line. And unsurprisingly, we have been inundated with text messages on this theme of GM making this decision to axe the Holden brand. Lisa says, wasted taxpayers' money in a company making no effort to modernise, develop hybrid or electric car. Good riddance, dead old company. This one too, let's look at this as a great opportunity to move away from cars in urban Australia. Let's become the great public transport manufacturing country. I don't know if it's quite going to be that, though, because the thing is, it's just been replaced by other types of cars. We've seen, you know, flooding of the market, really. John says the demise of Holden is a business decision made by its parent American company. The public comments made by then Treasurer Hockey a couple of years ago seems to have been designed to promote this decision and to wind down auto manufacturing in the country. Yanis says, Patricia, if successive governments have funded Holden on the condition it electrified and only produced EVs, it would be thriving right now. Electric vehicles, that is, of course. Tony says, hi, PK. Just have a look at how many different brands of cars are available in Australia. Now, that's the real problem. Jay says, Holden made a very poor quality cars and did not fire up the imagination of Australians in a big way. In Choice Magazine's survey, Holden was among the top for complaints for new cars. They failed to compete. Sadly for the Australian worker, they are no more. Ah, fond memories of Holden. Bone-shaking vinyl seat that peeled your skin off in the summer. The smell of fumes. Ah, the memories, says another person. Lots of memories. And if you look at social media this afternoon, it's been flooded with pictures of kids from the 70s and the 80s looking very, very hip in some very, very hilarious outfits outside their mum and dad's car. This is RN Drive.